I got friends, only wanna talk business. I got expensive, cause winning's expensive. I got expensive, cause winning's expensive. I've been reading all the work.
And welcome to Set That Copy Down, the Great Sales Podcast for Closers. My name is Kevin Hill. I'm your host, as always, and I have a very special guest in-house today, Mr. Rob Bussey from BWS Logistics. They specialize in beverages, wines, and spirits, and it's a whole different world than most people touch. It's one of those niches, and I like niches because niches are where the riches reside. We're going to talk about the niche today with Mr. Rob Bussey. How are you doing today?
Doing good, Kevin. Thanks so much for having me on. I mean, that is our, you can't see this because this is audio only, but I'm actually wearing the old logo, which is our beer, wine, and spirits. We rebranded a year ago, April, to a little different logo because we do a lot of other commodities. But I mean, that is still a sweet spot for us. And we do still do a ton of that. Whether it be beer, wine, spirits, energy drinks, water, even food items, frozen. So we do a lot of different things now. But thanks again for having me on.
You bet. And you're based out of the Chicago area, the hub of freight brokerages. I actually just put together a list of brokers and key decision makers, and the Chicago area is about triple compared to, I think Dallas is number two, the Dallas area, triple the number of freight brokers and decision makers on those freight brokers than any other market out there. And it's just, it's the hub of transportation.
Well, it's not Freight Alley like Chattanooga, but, there is a lot of, it's the central point. When I was back on the forwarding side of things, I used to say we kind of have it easy here from a trucking standpoint because we're right in the middle. You can hit the East Coast in 2 days. You can head all the way down to Dallas in 2 days. And there's a ton of freight forwarders here. There's a ton of international cargo between O'Hare and now out at Rockford. So it's just very busy, but there's a ton of definitely brokerages here. I mean, back in the day, American backhaulers got their start here way back when. And that's grown up to be a bunch of other different companies, including Coyote and Mastery and other ones like that. But Molo. There's just a ton of them here. And I see all the people I interact with on LinkedIn. It's like there's more and more Chicago on there. So I think we need to have a conference here soon.
We should. I think I remember back in right before the pandemic, 2019, it was in Chicago. Yeah. And it was hectic. It was one of those there's a snowstorm in early November, a blizzard, the airport shut down, O'Hare shut down. Everybody all had to rent vans and drive through a blizzard to get to Chicago. And I think it was like 10 degrees the whole week. So it was bad timing.
It's a beautiful city. You got to pick the right time of year to come, though. We went through the first part of the summer was a big drought, and then we've been getting drenched with the rain lately. But I mean, it can be hot summers and cold winters here. But if you pick the right time of year to come, it's one of the most beautiful cities in the world.
It is. I always loved going to Chicago. We were talking before we hit record, and that's where I thought I'd end up.
You're still welcome here.
You never know. In the summer, I might set up a summer house in Chicago. I don't think I'm old renters anymore.
Yeah, that's true. If you're not used to it, it can be harsh.
Yeah, I can envision a life where I'm in Chicago in the summers, going to Wrigley Field every day game, and just kicking back and enjoying it. But getting closer and closer to retirement, so maybe one of these days I can do that.
As we talked about earlier, time doesn't stop, and it's as you get older, it seems to move faster and faster. So
it does. I think there's a scientific reason for that, but I just don't know what it is. But it does seem like it goes faster and faster and faster.
I was once told that one of the reasons it does seem to move faster is you don't do new things as much as you used to.
Sure.
And you're always doing the same thing. So you're in that your window becomes smaller. You're just doing the same thing every day. And I thought, man, that makes sense. So
it does.
Maybe you and I need to go parachuting or something.
Maybe we should. I don't think I'm going to skydive.
You first.
I know. That's one of the things, you know, it's on everyone's bucket list. I'm going to go skydive. I'm like, no, not me.
Why would you do that?
There are a few things that I'm
not.
Yeah, I'm not skydiving. I'm not swimming with sharks. I'm not doing any of those things.
Would you zip line?
Zip line, yeah, I might zip line. Maybe. Maybe. Well, yeah. Let's talk about you have your beverages, right? But you have your wine and spirits, right? And I know from my careless days, you know, kind of messing around with trying to find, is it liquor certified drivers? Is that
you have to have certain drivers that are willing to do it. There's a lot of them that are precluded because of their religion, believe it or not. And then
sure.
It's mainly state driven that they have to have the licenses. And it's an easy find. You can pull up the list of all the states that you need a liquor permit in.
Uh-huh.
Depending on which state you're in, they may or may not need one. You can buy these things on a day-to-day basis. If you find a carrier who says, yeah, I do the load for you, but I don't have a New Jersey permit. Well, here's what you do. We'll send them the link and it's, you know, 50, 60 bucks and we'll just, you know, we'll pay the carrier that to do that. But otherwise you can get yearly ones. And a lot of the carriers that we work with have them already. And the nice thing about building your base of carriers that you're working with, especially if it's in a lot of similar lanes where we're running them on a repetitive basis, you start building that, and that's sort of the genius of being around for a while and having the right technology is to build your base of carriers so that it's sort of an automatic thing. You've got one of five people you're going to call for that New Jersey to Kentucky run, you know, because you need a permit in both of those states.
No, if you don't have a permit, you don't end up like smoking the bandits. You're bootlegging and getting thrown in jail. But
on the Coors across the state lines, like they did in that movie, that was Coors Beer. I think it was anyway.
But it was Coors Beer east of the Mississippi.
Yeah, yeah.
For east of Texas.
Yeah, great movie, by the way.
Oh, you know what? I got into Freight Waves and my little research team there. I started talking about it one day, and they were just looking at me. No one had watched it before.
Oh my gosh!
And I just had to make it mandatory. You got to watch. You can't work in trucking and not watch Smokey's Bandit.
I mean, the Jackie Gleason dialogue in those movies was so, his timing is unbelievable, and his delivery, and you know, they were just simple movies back in the day.
And dialogue really stands the test of time. You know, the everyone's a smart ass and it's very snappy and sarcastic and tongue in cheek. And it's just great comedy.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But yeah, so we do a lot of beer, wine, and spirits. We also do a lot of other commodities. I actually do a lot of trade show freight as well, which is another niche market.
That is.
And it's very specialized in that, you know, you really want to work with someone who knows the ins and outs of marshaling yards, of advanced warehouses, of deadlines, cutoffs, the advantages, and actually has connections within that, you know, being that I worked in trade shows for 12 years. And so that's another piece of business we're handling a lot of.
Yeah. And I think on the trade show front, sometimes you have to work with unions as well, labor unions. It's FIGO's a big union state, Vegas.
Yeah, and the unions are different. The unions are different in certain states. I mean, if you do a show in, let's say, Louisville, you might deal with one or two unions. You do a show in Chicago, you're dealing with sometimes six unions. You know, you've got Teamsters, decorators, electricians, plumbers, riggers. So it's quite, but the guys are phenomenal. I mean, if you work with them, show them the respect, you know, Chicago over the years has sometimes has a bad reputation of being on the take and this and that and mobsters and all that, but we're just regular people up here. And, you know, if you come up to a show in Chicago, we did ProMat this year, which is a big material handling show. We'll be doing the sister show to that down in Atlanta next year called Modex, tied to the material handling industry, another great show. You know, we've had some great opportunities out of being an actual exhibitor at that show. We had a booth built and we're going to be doing some more shows as well.
Nice.
Getting
your name out there. That's a big part of it. And you're a big part of getting BWS Logistics name out there. And it's, It's part of sales. If you don't have your name out there, I just got a LinkedIn email. It's kind of a newsletter, right? Right before I hit record, I saw Grant Cardone, and he's a big, you know, be known and be broke.
Oh, yeah.
If potential buyers don't know who you are, you can't sell. You can't sell if they don't know you. And sometimes that's a phone call. Sometimes that's an email. And oftentimes it's just getting out there, being known.
True. And, you know, we've been building our brand over the 3 years that I started here. The company started in 2018. I joined in 2020. And as I mentioned earlier, it was really just Craig and I at the start. And now we've got about 30 people. So we've done the right things, I believe. We've, you know, I think early on, trying to get our name out there, we were sort of being our own wingman, because you can be your own wingman. You can get your name out there just through various, you know, whether it was through my interactions with some of the FreightWaves folks like you, or just other general interactions. And then, you know, beyond that, you just keep building on that. And it helps people know who you are. And they know what your logo looks like, you know, like when we switched our logo from the beer, wine and spirit to the truck. You know, some people were like, oh man, I love the old logo. But then they understood that, you know, when I was trying to sell, I'd be going into a place and they'd be saying, hey, Rob, I like you. You're a great guy, but we don't do anything with beer, wine, and spirits. And I'd say, well, hold on a second. So that was part of the reason we rebranded to that. But we still do a ton of that
work. Yeah. A brand, a logo is important and a name is important. But I guess my real thing is you have to make the name, the name, you know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah, I do. And I'll tell you, some of our best promoters have been, you know, our own customers, our own vendors. Yeah. We've got testimonials from some of our drivers and carriers. They love working with us. And, you know, we're honored to have that kind of thing. And we do get testimonials from customers that we post on our, you know, various,
well, that's the best salesperson too, right?
Yeah, your customers. Yeah. So you'll see it on Twitter, Instagram, you know, some of those other social media locations. And it's just, to me, it's humbling to see a customer come back and tell you, hey, you know, you're doing a great job. Because in reading some of the books that I've read by our friends like Lee Sauls and Mike Weinberg, you know, they'll tell you can say you're the best, but there's only one person who can really tell you you're the best, and that's the customer. If the customer tells you you're the best, you might be, and it's a valuation by them that they value you. It goes back to another thing from Lee's book about how much would you pay for something that you can get for free? And well, I wouldn't pay anything. Oh, well, really? Well, go back to his bottled water story about how that works out. I mean, if you take bottled water, you know, per unit, you really pay over $7.20 a gallon for water when you buy bottled water. So it's
bottled water is more expensive than oil, a barrel of oil.
Yeah.
A barrel of bottled water is more expensive than a barrel of oil.
I know. It's crazy. But there again, you've shown value in it through convenience. And you know, we try to do that here. We try to, you know, we're a 3PL, so we don't try to hide that. We don't have trucks. We don't even have a brick and mortar location. We're, you know, after COVID, as we grew, we just stayed 100% remote, and it's worked out for us. And you know, the value we give is by being an extension of people's brand, extension of their business, without being a burden on their payroll. And it's a service that we provide to you know, orchestrate the moves that we do for our customers. Through all of our connections.
I think this, being a 3PL, that's one of the hardest things on the sales aspect. And out of all the industries I've been in through my life, selling with shippers is by far, I think, the most difficult that I've seen. It is, like Lee Saul says, right? It is proving that you're the best or proving that you're a right fit, oftentimes in just a phone call. Because 99% of what you want to say can be said by every single freight broker out there and is said by every single freight broker and 3PL out there. because you can say it, but you can't prove it. I mean, how do you prove it? And but this is that's the key question. That's the once you figure that out, or if you can figure that out, that's where success lies. But it is so hard to do.
Yeah, you want to go in there and tell them that you want to tell them that you're the best, but you also want to say, what can I do to differentiate who we are, and let them know that I'm not like everybody else. But you walk in the door and the first thing you do is tell them you're the best. You've just said the same thing that every sales rep is saying. So I think
if you say we're different for this reason, it better be different.
Yeah.
Because everyone's going to come in and say, oh, we're different for this reason. It's like, well, you're the fifth person today who's told me you're different for that reason.
Right. I mean, I don't think you want to go in and personally, I don't think you want to go in and lead with a product, and you don't want to go in and lead with technology. And we talked before we started hitting record of all the technology options that are out there, and they're phenomenal for building efficiencies and everything else. But I think at the end of the day, if you can get your customer to understand, I'm not speaking for the whole world here. This is how I feel. If you can get the customer to understand and to believe that at the end of the day, you are a company and you are a person who you can get a hold of. You're a person who's going to respond to a text, an email, a phone call. You're not going to get stuck in some voicemail jail, and you're going to be there for them. You're going to represent them. Yeah, you got this flashy technology. Yeah, I can give you this platform. I'll give you a login. You could do all this stuff on your own.
Yeah.
Look at how the world has gone from customer service to the customer doing the work for the person who's supposed to be providing the service. I mean, it started with really FedEx with their, when you had to do the data entry for them and create in the old Zebra printers and create the labels. Holy mackerel, we just did the data entry for them. And now you do it in the store, you got the self-checkout, you go to McDonald's, you got to do the kiosk thing and all that stuff. So, I mean, even some of the restaurants now have that little order thing. So, I mean, the convenience is there, and I'm probably getting off track here, but I think at the end of the day, I still believe in a person talking to a person, building that relationship, listening to them, and, you know, just being a real person. Be yourself, you know. You never want to settle on what you did yesterday. And you just want to be someone who's going to be there for them. Be there for the customer. Represent them. That's the value you have. You're going to represent them well.
It is the value that you have. I think going in leading, maybe one of the safest options, and certainly early, I think it is one of the safest options, is going in not talking about yourself and your services whatsoever until the very end, and leading with being an expert in what the person you're talking to does. Maybe not an expert, knowledgeable, asking great questions about it, figuring out where the challenges are, really enjoying and being very sincere about it. Going back to the live show from yesterday, Dale Carnegie, sincerely about what their business is. So if you're selling to beer, wine, and spirits, being not a sommelier maybe, but knowing wines, knowing the wine market, right? Knowing the liquor market, knowing that and being able to talk about that gives you a lot of street cred.
Absolutely. I'm a big fan of not even talking about anything related to work right away. When you start going in there, you might break it down to, you know, where you're from. How long have you been here? But that kind of goes back to do some homework in advance, which is, I'm big on that.
Yeah.
Don't walk in there and say, so what does your company do? You know, I mean, you've just lost me. You're done. So do a little bit of homework, you know, listen carefully, respond creatively, and just slow play that part, and then finish it up with, you know, this is what we do, and just be honest with, to say, look, we're a lot of us all use the same. Anyone can get a truck, anyone can get a step van, a step deck, anyone can get a sprinter van. I can get all that stuff. You know, we have good access to that, but you know, we're going to handle the process for you, and there's a fee for that. You know, if you want to work with the best, you're going to work with us. But I mean, that's the hard part to get to that.
And you want to be an outsourced partner, right? You want to be an outsourced department. So you mentioned that earlier in the conversation. You want to be that outsourced partner. And part of being that is kind of you're not an employee, but you're kind of an employee. So you should know that business. where you should know the industry. And this reason why picking an industry and being able to go in and ask the same question simplifies the equation, right? So if you're selling to industrials at CPG and wine and spirits and electronics, right? You got to know five different industries,
yeah,
which is tough to do. Pick one industry and just kind of go all in on it. And whatever that industry is, I used to do a lot of steel coils from the Midwest, right? Chicago, Michigan, down to Monterey, Mexico. Yeah, I had to know the border. And I also had to know quite a bit about the steel industry. And that's what I studied up on. And it made conversations much easier because I kind of knew their process, their supply chain, because I knew their industry and their business. And then I knew the border crossing process and the connections on that side, which made it a really good business to be in.
Yeah, you learn quickly too as you dive into a certain industry. Like when I started here, a big piece of what we do still do is drayage. We do a ton of drayage. When I started here, and the word drayage to me was tied to trade show, because that's drayage and trade show too, which is basically receiving your freight, bringing it to the booth, taking the empties away, bringing it back, that kind of thing. I didn't know what a street turn was or triaxle chassis and all these different terminologies that are now second nature to all of us here, and that goes for our entire team, really. We've all kind of learned it and become experts on it, and we're trusted partners now for a lot of our customers. Our customers' customers know they work with us, and that's part of the trust they have. We get included in emails with them.
Yep.
So there's an email with me, with BWS, with our customer and their customer. So it's not like they're trying to say, hey, we're not doing this, but this is who we work with. This is who we trust. And that's kind of a good feeling.
It is a good feeling. It's a testimonial, really.
Yeah.
Is that a mini testimonial, but it is a good feeling. It really is. So, on another front, let's go, because you work in an industry, we were talking about it, I think right before you hit record, that is ripe for double brokering and fraud, right?
Correct.
The booze fell off the truck type of situation. So,
the whole truck was stolen.
It happens, right?
Yeah.
It can happen. It's happening more and more out there. And I think, just internally, there's a lot of things you can do just from a protocol standpoint and a checklist standpoint with your people. You can no longer just accept a guy who says he's got a truck in the area and he can handle it. You have to have some technology behind you, and you have to do your due diligence. You have to put some protocols in place, such as, you have to have your MC for at least 6 months. You have to have at least two inspections. And these, some people might say you're discriminating against people who just started and are trying to get going, but there's just too many people out there who are not being honest about who they say they are, and they're not being honest about pretty much anything. And as we mentioned earlier, the term double brokering, where one person is accepting a load and then farming it out to someone else, it's not the worst thing in the world that could happen. And in the past, I think there were some people that were doing it in a sort of honest way. Yeah, it's double brokering. Yeah, it's not nice, because we're already a broker. I mean, so if I give it to you when you're a carrier and then you give it to someone else, that's not really cool at all. But the problem now is the thieves are out there actually stealing loads, completely stealing them. The fraud is getting up there. Luckily, there's a lot of good technology out there that we're utilizing that's helping us mitigate our risks, whether it be my carrier packets, whether it be highway, whether it be carrier assure, whether it be just carrier 411. My feeling is we kind of need all that stuff. Use all the technology you can, and at the end, you got to kind of trust your gut. But we've got a lot of stop gaps in place to save us, including, getting the guy on macro point before he even takes the load. We'll ask questions like, where's your truck now? And what time's it going to be empty? And, we'll tell him, look, we're just going to, ping you for macro points to see where you're at. We won't start tracking it until tomorrow when the pickup happens, but we need to protect ourselves here. And so there's a lot of that going on out there. We're doing our best to make sure that we don't fall victim out there. And we're actually trying to educate our shippers because we think they have a big piece of the ownership here. So we do communicate with them that the driver's name is going to be Tony Jones. He's going to be coming in tractor 103, truck number 1205. And here's his cell phone number. When you get there, if that's not him, don't load the truck. So we've been able to, you know, mitigate any chances of that. We had a couple of near misses and we were able to recover them, but it's a real danger out there right now. And it's a horrible situation.
It is a horrible situation. And it's gotten a little bit more sophisticated over the last 3, 4, 5 years. And
the last three or four months, it's gotten really sophisticated.
Really?
These guys, like I said, it's gone from double brokering to outright theft and, theft of identity theft. People getting into government sites and hacking and taking control of their, so if you get in, FMCSA somehow, and even though there's a PIN program with that, they're actually kind of overhauling that. And that's going to be updated soon, I believe in August, they said. But if you get in there, you can just take the person's identity, and let's say it was Kevin Hill Trucking, and I go in there and I change the email address to, you know, rbuscycargo@yahoo.com or whatever I change it to. And now I'm you. I'm taking loads for you. I have no intention of having anything to do with you, but I'm using your identity to steal freight.
Yeah, no, I did hear about that. And it's just worrisome. It's a worrisome world right now. And I think though there's more technology coming online to address all corners of this issue, because it's just become organized.
The best way to protect yourself is to have steady business.
You think you're more at risk.
Steady carriers.
Steady lanes will help you build steady carriers.
Yep.
If you're in the transactional marketplace where it's a one-off, the guy says, I don't run this very often. Now you're like, well, I don't know anyone there either. So you're going to be posting it, or you're going to be, you know, putting it on any number of these platforms that are out there. And you're kind of starting from scratch. Whereas, you know, if I do a heavy lane, like I move a lot of lanes, a lot of loads to Memphis, I know I have 5 or 6 carriers that I can just rely on for that. And I just juggle between the 3 or 4 or 5 of them. Mm-hmm. And I don't have any problems. I mean, that, and then the customers get to know them as well. So
it makes it easy.
It does. And that's the way all the goal for your entire book of business, right? Is to have steady carriers and steady customers. Just play the middleman, the communicator, and that makes life a lot easier. Makes commission checks predictable.
We make problems go away for our customers. So we take things off their plate. We like to say that, you know, you guys are in this niche business. We're in the transportation business. We can manage that process for you. That's why I use that as a term. We'll manage the process for you. And again, we do have some really good technology behind us. We're with our TMS that we use that we can give our customers a login. You can see the tracking in I'll call it an old fashioned way, even though there's great technology there. If I'm sitting in a chair trying to track my freight and I'm looking at a map and I can see a dot here and a dot here, I know where my truck's at.
Yep.
Or I know where my freight's at on your truck. And we do offer that. So it's been a nice sales tool as well. But you don't want to lead with technology. You want to lead with listening.
You do. Lead with listening. I think that's an important lesson. We'll leave it at that. And I want to thank you for dropping by today, Rob. It's been a pleasure as always. And if our listeners have any questions for you, I know that they can find you on LinkedIn. Is that the best way?
Well, yeah, I'm on LinkedIn. I'm pretty active on there. I'm also available at my email address, which is r.bussy@bws-logistics.com. and you can visit our website at www.bws-logistics.com. We are a 3PL, and we're ready to help our customers and find new ones as well. So give me a call.
Perfect. Thank you very much, Rob. And for everyone out there, hit follow, like, subscribe to our podcast channel at Put That Copy Down. You find us on YouTube as well, and also on Freightcast, which has all the Freight Waves podcasts all in one channel for you. But yeah, hit like, subscribe, follow, leave us a written review. Much appreciated. But until then, go out and make some sales, make some margin, and enjoy the sale.
I got friends, only wanna talk business. I got expensive, cause winning's expensive. I got expensive, cause winning's expensive.
I've been getting out of work, and I've been shutting down stores.